Good morning. I want to bid you all a hearty welcome here to this morning's worship service. My name is Jeff Hildebrand, and I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, where it says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye may be enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen." Now, as I understand it, you're going to be having Holy Communion here tomorrow evening. And I have often been asked the question, and it sounds something like, "Am I worthy?" And so I want to look in God's Word this morning and share with you how through sanctification and justification that we can come with a clear conscience to Holy Communion. So when we consider those things, it's important that that's part of our getting ready. And that is something that I would like to address this morning. So before we get started, let's unite with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace today, and we are thankful that we can gather here in your house of prayer and worship. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to have this fellowship. And Lord, as we look into your word, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you so much that we can look into your word each and every day, that we can draw closer to you, and that we can have true fellowship with you. So we ask that you would lead and guide us this morning, that your Holy Spirit would just cover this entire church, that the Sunday school, that the sanctuary here would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that you would lead and guide us. And Father, that Satan and his forces would be rebuked at every corner, and that we can have this time of fellowship, and that we would be blessed and you would be glorified. And Father, for those that could not attend this morning, we just ask that you would be with them in a special way, whether they're in the hospitals or care homes or they're shut-ins at home. Lord, that they would be able to receive the message, that they too could be encouraged and uplifted. We thank you for the grace and mercy that you continue to show us. We thank you for the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, whom today we want to honor and glorify. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I'll turn it over to the song leader.
Let's take our red hymnal and turn to page 244. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. Page 244.
Yeah. 361. Take time to be holy. 361.
Thank you for that singing and that playing. So as we want to get started this morning, I want to talk firstly about sanctification. So let's turn to the book of John. And in John chapter 17, I want to look at about five verses there. So John chapter 17, we want to start at verse 14. And we'll conclude at verse 19. And these are Jesus' words, and this is what he says to us. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Well, let's look at the word sanctification. So I looked it up, and here's one dictionary's interpretation of sanctification. And it explains it this way. To set apart for special use or purpose, that it is to make holy or sacred. So when Jesus is saying he has sanctified us, then he is saying in part that He is making us holy. And we can only be made holy by Him and through Him. And so as I started this morning with a comment that some people feel that they're not worthy of Holy Communion. Well, we have been sanctified by Christ. And my question is, what more would we need? If the Lord has sanctified us and set us apart for a purpose, like remember, if we would go back and we would read this whole chapter, it starts off with Jesus actually praying for himself. Then it goes on and he prays for his disciples. And so we kind of picked it up in the middle of that. And when we see what he's doing, he's offering a prayer for us. And he wants to protect us from the evil that is in the world. So that is part of the being set apart. We're being, as Christians, as believers in Christ, there is a special purpose for each of us. And I wonder sometimes, how do we feel about that? Do we actually feel sanctified? I saw something quite interesting. It was a little video that I picked up the other day. And maybe this will help us get our heads around it. But it was a video of a young child being brought to the airport to see Grandpa. Grandpa was coming in, and this little child, probably, I don't know, this child could run, so I'm going to say 3, 4, 5 years old. And as Mom and Dad put that little child down, and when she saw her grandfather, she ran towards her grandfather, calling out, "Papa, I'm coming." And as soon as she gets there, of course, her grandfather picks her up and there's this hug and it's a beautiful moment. And I wonder if we can kind of relate to that. Is that our anticipation when we gather for Holy Communion? Are we ready to come to the table and meet our Lord there? So when we struggle if in that area of, you know, are we sanctified? Are we really ready? Have we made everything, you know, have we done what we should do? Well, again, if we look at the word sanctification, we are, as believers, we have been called for a special purpose. And in this description, it talks about made holy or sacred. So Holy Communion, let's think of this. Holy Communion is a time when we gather together for a special time, a very special time with each other and with our Lord and Savior and with our Almighty God. So remember, Jesus has performed what he needed to perform so that we can come before the Father sanctified. And I really feel many people struggle with that at times because, I guess the reason I would say that is a number of years ago, I was approached and we were having this conversation with this couple, and we were talking. It was Holy Communion was coming up, and they said, well, they weren't coming to church for Holy Communion. And why? Well, we have sin in our life. Well, I explained, well, so do I. And you try to explain sanctification and justification, but they would have no part of it because they did not feel they were worthy. Of course, that's their decision. But I'm here to tell you today, through sanctification and justification, those are two key components of being prepared for Holy Communion. Of course, I think a third key component is forgiveness. And we'll look at that right at the very end. So let's turn to the book of Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 3, once we have been sanctified, there's a definite change that should happen in our life. And this is what Colossians 3 talks about. So we'll start at verse 1, and we'll conclude at verse 17. So here we look at us as a believer. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So, as human beings, do we sometimes struggle with setting our affection on things above? How many of us get caught up in the things in this world? We have to be very careful. We're told to set our affection on things above. So we have to have a mindset of things about heaven and about God. And that spins off to so many different areas in our journey. And it spins off into what we think, what we say, what we do, how we respond. All those things happen. And it should be part of our life. So sometimes we react to a situation. And I'll ask this question of you. How many of you have ever reacted poorly in a situation? Yeah. Right? We all have. How many of us have also reacted positively in a situation? And we probably all have done that as well. That's being a human being. But once we recognize when we have reacted poorly, what is our responsibility as a believer? We correct it. We fix it. And that's part of being prepared for communion. So as we look at those things, it's very important that we understand what we need to do. In verse 5, it goes on to say this. And now this is going to be a transition story from verse 5 to 17. But the first, from verse 5 to 11, is how we were before we became believers. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. So we're being told here that at some point in our life, we were walking in those things. Okay? That's what we were doing. But now ye also put off all these. So here's another whole list. And remember, we're supposed to put these things off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So we're given quite a list of things that we may have done in the past that that's our old past, so it's our old man. And we have to get rid of those things. So it's a much easier, if we go back to the first few verses, if we have a better mindset, if we set our affection on godly things. So then we can overcome these things. Then in the next few verses, in verse 12 and on, it talks about putting on the new man. So this is being a Christ follower now. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now you can see that list, and if we would compare to the first kind of list that we looked at in verses 5 to 11, you can see there's a huge difference. And as believers, the second list is how we're supposed to look. That's how we're supposed to appear to, like. That's how we're supposed to look. And do we? To the outside world, do we look that way? We are, as Christian people, we are being constantly scrutinized and looked at. So when I asked you before of, you know, how many times have we responded poorly in a situation, which do you suppose that the outside world would remember most? When we responded poorly or when we responded positively? Because we have the name Christian attached to to who we are, I would almost guarantee they would look at us and say, you're claiming to be a Christian. Here's what you did. It was wrong. And if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be part of it. We've heard that said time and time again. Friends, we are not perfect. We should strive for perfection. When we look at how we're supposed to have changed, do you think that we can make all these changes like in a snap of a finger in just one moment? Personally, I couldn't. I don't know about the rest of you. But when I came to truly know Christ, there was three very definitive things in my life that I knew I had to get rid of. And so I brought it before the Lord. And you know how he dealt with it with me? One thing at a time. It was a process. So for that's how it worked for me. And maybe that's not how it's worked for you. Maybe you have been able to handle 4, 5, 6, 7 changes in your life. I guess the Lord knew I couldn't handle that much. So one thing at a time, and I got rid of those three things, and I'm still a work in progress. There's still other things that I know that I should do much, much better at. But we need to understand that once we come to Christ and we have put on that new man, we have changed, that we are now sanctified by Christ because of what he has done. So let's remember that as we go forward. You are sanctified by Jesus Christ because of what he has done. Don't forget that. And let our goal be to think on things that are above And let's look at the second list that I just shared with you. So that's from Colossians 3, 12 to 17. You know, take that home with you and read that over. And understand that's who we want to be. That's our goal. So maybe you're like me and you need some correction in some of these areas. And you need to be, you know, you need to release some things, then let it happen. And be sanctified before the Lord. And you can do that because of Christ. So don't think you cannot be sanctified. As believers, from what Scripture's saying here, is once we've put on that new man, once we've made that change, we are sanctified. Doesn't mean we're perfect. And we'll look at that a little bit in our second portion of our service. But before we go to do that, I want to give us an opportunity for some time in prayer. And of course, like I mentioned, and you all know that you're going to be having Holy Communion here. So I would encourage you to make that a matter of prayer. And so with that, for all of you that are willing and able, let's kneel in prayer. May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
Hymnal, page 231. My Jesus, I love thee. Page 231. For those who are able, could we stand to sing, please?
I want to thank you again for that singing and that playing, and having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. Looks like we have a few additions to the rest of the service, so welcome here. The first part of the message was on sanctification, and now we'll be looking at justification or being justified. And it's justification, or when we look at being justified, what are we being justified for? For our sins that we've committed. And so we know that Jesus has done that for us. But I want to turn to Romans chapter 3. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 23 to 26, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus." Now, when we look at the word justification or being justified, we look at what Jesus did. You think of Jesus' life and then ultimately his death. What did he all do for us on the cross? Yes, he sanctified us, and now he has justified us. So again, and I'll explain to these people that have just joined us here from the Sunday school that we were talking about, sometimes we feel as people that we're unworthy to have Holy Communion, and that's where I'm kind of drawing this, our attention to being sanctified and being justified. So in verse 24, it says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." That is what Jesus has done for us as far as our justification. It is a free gift from Jesus by grace that he has redeemed us. He paid the penalty for our sin. We read in verse 23, we have all sinned. We've all fallen short. We know that. Now it goes on to say in verse 24 that we can be justified before our Heavenly Father because of what Jesus has done. So when we think of what we talked about earlier, that we are supposed to keep our minds focused on heavenly things. If we can keep ourselves more focused on those things, we can understand a little better what it means to be justified and sanctified. And hopefully, sin less. You know, I asked our Bible study group a number of years ago, and now a lot of them are quite a bit more mature than I am. So basically, I'm trying to say this gently, they're quite a bit older than I am. And so I asked them, when does the devil stop attacking you? Like, when does that ever stop? So this is for you young folks. He doesn't. He doesn't give up. And I wonder how many of you have seen that on someone's deathbed. That you see that there's something going on, and it's a spiritual battle. Satan doesn't want to let you go. He wants to take you down. But you don't have to go down. We can look up and we can be very positive about that. And it's through the grace of Jesus Christ. But you need a relationship with him. And so today I try to say this more and more. And maybe it's because I'm getting a little older enough and a lot more concerned. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is no better day than today than to ask him into your life and accept him as your Lord and Savior. We do not know when the rapture will happen. There is no sign that has to be given for the rapture. After the rapture, we can figure out a lot of things. I sure hope I'm not here after the rapture. Now, when we look at what Jesus has done for us, he has given us victory through his blood, through his sacrifice. He has given us remission of sins. So he has forgiven us our sins once we come to him. But we need that relationship with him. So when we look at verse 23 and it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, or come short of the glory of God, what does that mean? That means we're still sinners. That means when we sin, we still ask for forgiveness. We can't forget that. We need to make sure that's part of our lifestyle. It's so important. When we continue to look at justification, it's interesting. In one of my footnotes here, it is used twice in the Greek New Testament. It's only used twice, justification. It's interesting, I thought, because, you know, it's kind of important. But let's turn to Romans chapter 5. We're just going to go a little bit further in Romans, and that's where I'll spend the rest of our time this morning. So Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, we'll read till verse 11. How do we become justified? And here's what the first verse teaches us. Therefore, being justified by faith, how are we justified? By faith. You actually go into the Old Testament and you read how some of our patriarchs were saved. It was their faith. Okay? So here, I'll read it again. Therefore, being justified by faith, look what we get when we're justified. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the theme that we need to address. Our relationship with Jesus Christ gives us peace with God. How important then is Jesus Christ in our life? That's why it's so important to you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Sometimes I wish I could just be able to paint a picture of what heaven would look like. Aren't you all a bit curious? What's all up there? What would it look like? What would it be like to stand before the throne of God? Like, what is all going on? And maybe it would help us if we could just wrap our heads around it. But all I know is one thing. Is if Jesus has said he's gone to prepare a place for us, it's going to be amazing. And all I need to do is accept that by faith. And yeah, I'd love to see it, but I'm okay. I'm okay because I know that through faith that it's going to be perfect, because that's what he told us. So we can hold on to those things. That can help us to stay in that mindset that I talked about earlier, about thinking on heavenly things. Focus on those things. There are so many distractions in the world. When I was growing up, there was distractions, but boy, oh boy, I look at you as Sunday school students and I see, like, the distractions that are out there today are off the charts compared to when I was growing up. It's just unbelievable. Set your mind on heavenly things. Verse 3 goes on to say, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations always, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now, how many of you are parents? How many of you have children? And when you first had children, Did you ever pray for patience? Did you ever pray for patience before you had children? And then when you had children, you understood what you had prayed for, didn't you? Because as your children grow, you have to have patience. Right? One very easy thing to help us understand that is when my first child was born, and our daughter was born, and she would want to grab my finger and we would go for a walk. I'm walking. And I had to remember. Like, her stride was only this big. Mine is this big. So that's one thing. So now I want to get there quickly. The only way I could do that then was pick her up, but she wanted to walk. That's just one little example. And there's many other examples we could give, but in lieu of time, I won't get into it. But that you start to learn and grow, and you will learn patience, and you will, and that those things become experience. And when we look at it biblically, we look at how we grow. I want to ask you this question, and this can be from the youngest person here to the oldest person here. How patient has God been with you and I? How much mercy has he shown you and I in our life? How many times did he help us? And sometimes we don't even realize it until maybe much time later. And we start to experience things in our life. And when we begin to experience things, that gets us to a point of knowledge. We read earlier about how knowledge is important. And it is important. But if we want to be knowledgeable about all the things in the world, where have we lost focus? We've lost focus on the things in the heavenly places, which is far more important than in the world. It's far more important. Yes, I know, and I want to address you younger people. I know that you probably want to go out in the workforce. Maybe some of you are, and you've got a job, and you need, you know, someday maybe you'll get married and you want to provide. That's, I get all that. And so does God. He understands that. In fact, there's biblical references that we are to provide. But don't lose focus on God. So keep that in your minds and in your hearts. So when we look at this, in verse 5 it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, but because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." And that's referring directly to believers. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." So at some point, we read earlier that at one point we were ungodly people. And then we put on the new man. This was out of Colossians chapter 3. Then we put on the new man and we became believers. So this is referring here to when we were ungodly. Now, remember who Jesus died for. That was us way back in the day. Well, you know, us older ones. But he has died for the ungodly. So that's important for us to remember. Verse 7 goes on to say, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That again pulls us into that relationship with Jesus Christ. So for those of you that have had a relationship with Christ for maybe many, many years already, do not let go. Hold on tight. And to those of you that are contemplating having that relationship, get into it. Get into it today. It's so important for you. Verse 9, "Much more than Now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That is what Jesus has done for you. That is why you can say Jesus has justified you. Look what he's done for you. You are justified before Almighty God because of the cross and what Jesus was willing to do on that cross. Remember, he suffered, he died for your sins. And you know what? When we look at all those things and we have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, are we still going to have trouble in this world? Yes, we will. The Bible warns us. In this world, you are going to have trouble. But Jesus also overcame the world. So we can have peace knowing that we can overcome. And so my encouragement is that we do exactly that, that we overcome. And with that, you need Jesus in your life. In conclusion this morning, I want to turn one chapter back in Romans 4. And I want to read two verses for you. So Romans 4, verses 24 and 25. And I could have probably picked a lot more here, but these two verses kind of stood out for me. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, so if we believe in God, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Because of what Jesus did, again, I can't say this strongly enough, we are justified through the actions of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are, if God looks down on us and he looks at us, even though we have lived a life of sin in the past and we have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can still be justified. And God can look at us and say to us, you're justified because what Jesus did for you. You believed in me and you believed in Jesus. So when we look at all those things, there's one other thing, and like I mentioned before, we're talking about Holy Communion coming tomorrow night. So there's one other thing I really want to address is please forgive. Forgive. What is one of the seven sayings Jesus said on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when Jesus said that, the way I understand it, he was saying to God, look, they have no idea. At least a lot of those people there, they had no idea who Jesus was and what they were doing to the Son of God. And yet in that moment, and with all the anguish and the pain and the suffering that Jesus had already gone through, he pleads to the Father on their behalf, saying, forgive them. So when we look at wanting to have Holy Communion, and part of making yourself ready is you need to be sanctified and justified, but it's also part of it is forgiving your neighbor or a family member or somebody that you know, maybe at work, maybe at school. But I want to encourage you to put all these three things into action. And you will experience the peace of God when you gather around the table of Holy Communion. It's a very special time, friends. It's a very special time. So tomorrow, as you celebrate what Jesus Christ has done. Celebrate it. Really celebrate it. You know, we only have Holy Communion twice a year. And I don't know if it's up for a debate or not. I don't think it is, but could we more have it more? Maybe we could. But we have chosen twice a year. It is a special time. So again, you can come sanctified, you can come justified, and please come with forgiveness. And God will accept, so to speak, the sacrifice. You know, when we look in the Old Testament, how were people in that day sanctified and justified and forgiven? It was by a sacrifice. So Jesus took that away because he was the ultimate sacrifice. But if that helps you understand why they did that, then maybe that's important to you. But remember, Jesus covered everything for us. So all honor and glory and praise to our Lord God Almighty. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And as we consider this time of very special fellowship, we ask, Lord, that you be with all those that will be here tomorrow night to celebrate Holy Communion with you and with each other. Father, we just ask that you would continue to protect this sanctuary by the way of your Holy Spirit covering every single corner from today and the coming days. Lord, that your mighty name would be lifted up and glorified, that your people would be blessed. Father, that we would go out and share the good news of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I just want to ask if there's anyone here today that you know that has not given their life over to you yet, that you would prick their heart and that they would come to you and accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. And then, Father, as we discover these people that will come forward at some point, that we as a church family would rally around them and encourage them and uphold them and give them direction. Father, I want to thank you for each one that has come and for those that will be watching. May you bless them and keep them and strengthen them, and that all honor and glory and praise would be yours and yours alone, and we, your people, again, would be truly blessed. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I want to give you an opportunity again for some time in prayer. So again, as you're preparing for Holy Communion, just pray for your needs that you have. With that, again, for all of you that are willing and able, let's kneel and pray. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
In the red hymnal, number 245, Lord, have of me supreme control. 245.
Lord, have of me supreme control through all my earthly days. Majesty and power, by homage and by praise, and all through.
I have come to the conclusion of the message this morning, and I trust that God will richly bless you. Let's bow for the benediction. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may now go with the peace of the Lord.